Hey, greetings. This is Brother James, noparish.com, John 424 Radio. Hope you're having a great day today. Hey, I want to bring you a teaching topic today. Good steward versus waste and hypocrisy. Good steward versus waste and hypocrisy. I want to talk about the principle of being a good steward. And of course, we're going to focus on the things of God. Focus towards the things of God. Proverbs 22:7. The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. Now, anybody who knows anything about finances knows that being in debt is being a bad steward. Staying out of debt is great wisdom. Amen. Let's look at some examples of stewardship. God created the earth and all the creatures, and then man. We're called by God to take dominion over the earth and the animals, not to exploit them, destroy them, use them at our own greed and lust. No, we're to use them with respect and being a good steward. This is honoring to God who put it in our charge. Now, we can look at the world and see how wasteful and sinful the world is when it comes to what they've been given, whether it be health or time or the world around them, children, things of that nature. Sadly, though, what I want to focus on, we see so much waste, greed, hypocrisy in the so-called saints and the churchianity system that we need to rightly divide this topic so that we can walk in it rightly for God's glory, lest we fall in the same pit therein and we defame our holy God. 1 Corinthians 4:1-2. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mystery of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. So there's a key. Man, woman, doesn't matter. If you're going to be a good steward of God, you must be faithful, which means you have to be diligent in all the things that you do. We're going to talk about that as we go. Let's look at that word steward. It is in the Greek oikonos. It means a house distributor or a manager, an overseer that is an agent, could be a preacher, chamberlain, a governor. But it's basically someone that oversees something. So that's what we're talking about here. And we're talking about rightly overseeing something for God's glory. So a steward is someone that manages things well and over whatever he oversees, no matter what it is. And a good steward does it righteously without waste and hypocrisy. What are some examples of stewardship? Well, it would be elders over a body of people, right? Yep. How about evangelists overseeing God's truth going out in the world? How about workers that are overseeing an employer's product or company? How about fathers who are overseeing family matters? How about Titus 2 ladies, keepers at home, overseeing household matters, food, budgets, keeping the home tidy, things of that nature? All these things show us that we have opportunities to be a good steward. God is the giver of all good things, amen, either material or spiritual. And one way that we worship God and honor God is how we manage these things for His glory and His kingdom. Think about that. It's another form of worship, is it not? Yeah, I think it is. Colossians 4:5. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. There you go. Are you a good steward of time, redeeming the time that God's given you? You don't know how long you're going to live, neither do I. And so are we good stewards of the time God has given us to glorify Him? So, whatever we're doing, whatever capacity we're in, God expects it that we do well and do our best at whatever He's given us. We're talking about money, time, skills, relationship, truth, whatever it is. To be a good steward, a good manager of what God has given you. Now me and Sister Debbie, we try to model this in our home and in our ministry. We live really simple. We live off grid or we van dwell. We live debt free. We use the Lord's money with great wisdom, always shopping for deals or making things when we can. In ministry, we don't want to be a burden to others. We don't ask for money. We don't take money. We labor with our own hands. We've worked our whole lives to save and be good stewards. Hey, Paul was a tent maker, right? Yeah. He didn't want to be a burden to others. Now, it's not to say there isn't times when a work of the Lord could be provided for, not a big salary, but provided for, but we prefer not to be a burden to others. And so we like to be good stewards of our time, our resources, so that we can bless others and continue to preach the gospel. So let's go to scripture and talk about some examples. No better example than Matthew 25. I have a whole audio on this. The parable of the talents. Remember that parable? Two servants do well what their master gives them, and they add to what the master gave them, and he says, well done. And then there's one servant who was fearful and slothful, and he wasn't wise, and he didn't do anything profitable for his master. He was bound up and cast in outer darkness. Hiding the talent away is what he did. Imagine, now the master got mad at him for that. Imagine the anger if the master would have found out the servant went out and bought foolish things or wasted the money rather than just hiding it. That would have been something else. More devastating even. So this man was not a good steward. He was not rewarded in any way. It's a great example to us. Look at a teacher or an evangelist. This is a good example because I like to teach. I like to preach. What if God sends a preacher, evangelist, souls to look after and to teach, but he doesn't look after them, he doesn't care for them, he doesn't nurture them, he doesn't disciple them, he just wants to go out and find more souls to like kind of add to his little resume, and you might laugh at that. I actually run into men that tell me, I've saved 187 souls this year, have committed their lives to the Lord under me. Well, what happens if these men get some people sent to them and they don't disciple, teach them, and these people fall through the cracks, go back to the sin, go back to the world? They don't spend time discipling them. They don't teach them the truth. Are they being good disciples of those souls? No, not at all. So that is an area where we have to be good disciples with people, our relationships, and what God has given us. Our God is a God of order, and God gives us qualifications and guidelines for his people. Titus 1, 6 through 9. And if any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly, for a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon to anger, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, that's money, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he's been taught, that he may be able to by sound doctrine both exhort and to convince the naysayers. So filthy lucre there. Let's talk about that. Money. This is a major, major problem of bad stewardship that we see in the so-called churchianity and ministries all over. You know, the world and the enemy Satan love to find fault in either God's people or people that say they're God's people to ruin the reputation. Remember, Satan's the accuser. And God's people, or the ones that claim they are, the churchianity system, they're always adding fuel to the fire for the world and our enemy by doing foolish things, bad stewardship, waste, and hypocrisy. We're going to talk about that. 1 Peter 4:10, as every man has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as stewards of the manifold grace of God. So that's telling us we are stewards. Here it's talking about stewards of the manifold grace of God, but we're talking here about stewards of everything, time, resources, people, truth, no matter what it is. So I want to talk about a recent situation that I ran across that gives a good example of bad stewardship. Let me talk about an Anabaptist-type body. This happens to be in Boston, and their founder is a millionaire. He's an investor of some mutual fund. He's a multimillionaire, and he has been out spending, it's public knowledge, millions and millions and millions of dollars on a college that he wanted to start. Like, we need colleges. Did God ordain colleges? No. This man spent $1 million on furniture, $1 million a year leasing a building, one story or one floor in a big building in Boston. They live in $1 million homes in Boston. Yeah. All these things, wasting money on college, and the very same ministry will go on Facebook and ask people for donations to do some work in Africa or donations for this or that. And they're asking for $10, $20, $30 here and there. This is a terrible use of God's resources. You know, that man, he's a multimillionaire. He can do whatever he wants with his money. He can put it in a pile and burn it if he wants. But you know what? He shouldn't be wasting it on things that God never ordained, like colleges, like big houses, when he says you're supposed to live like Jesus, but they clearly don't, on furniture, on fancy buildings in the middle of Boston, when he's trying to do good works in Africa and asking other people to support that with their hard-earned money. It doesn't make any sense. Think about that. He's throwing away millions in a college that isn't needed, and he's asking widows and hardworking young couples or maybe elderly people to send him $10 or $20 to go and help people in Africa. That just makes no sense. That's not being a good steward of God's money. That's just one example that I've seen of late. We've seen so many pastors asking you to give them their tithe, whether they're living in a big house, driving a new car, wearing fancy clothes. Worldliness, carnality, not good stewards at all. We're supposed to be lowly, humble, right? Not decorate ourselves, not live in big fancy homes. We're supposed to be good stewards of all things that God gives us. If people were better stewards, they wouldn't have to rely on other people so much. Think about that. If they would protect their resources that God's given them, being wise as a serpent, Matthew 10, right? Instead of being foolish with their money, they get into debt, they get into all kinds of trouble, and they become a burden to everyone. So we see the man-made churchianity system. They're terrible stewards. They have big salaries. You know, when I do my research, 70% of your churchianity budgets go for buildings and salaries. You think of that. The New Testament body of Christ had no buildings and it had no salaries. But yet 70% of the money today goes for buildings and salaries. And in this case of this Anabaptist body, they meet in homes, which is good. That's biblical. Yet they spend millions on college buildings and rent and furniture. And they're asking widows and elderly people and teenagers for $10 or $20. It's not appropriate. It's not God-honoring. It's hypocritical. And it is wasteful. By the way, if I didn't mention it, he says you should live like Jesus. He says you should give away extra tunics. He says his whole Anabaptist circles, they teach against wealth accumulation. Yet he manages $7.5 billion. In a mutual fund. Yeah. Again, this is the gross hypocrisy and the poor stewardship. He can do whatever he wants with all the money he's made. Don't be asking people to be giving you more money while you are wasting the money you have. Right? Yeah. Amen. On things that God never ordained. Titus 1 verse 7. For a bishop must be blameless, the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon to anger, not given to wine, not a striker, not given to filthy lucre. So we're going keep talking about the money here. Filthy lucre again, right? How are you blameless if you waste the money that God's given you, doing things he didn't ordain, doing things outside of his will as you take money from others? That's kind of the point that I'm getting at here. They are a stain against God's holy name. And one thing I want to bring up here, it reminds me of the Pharisees and the widows. Remember this? Matthew 23:14. Jesus says unto them, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devours widows' houses, and for pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. What does that mean? Devours widows' houses. That means they're taking money from the widows. Yeah. Taking advantage of the widows when they don't even need the widow's money. Kind of sounds like that millionaire Anabaptist, doesn't it? Yeah, it does. So God's true people are clearly called to do better in our stewardship, in all things, time, money, skills, effort, relationships, truth, whatever it is God's given you. Titus 2, 7 through 10. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech, that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. I like that last part. That they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. So that's what we're talking about here. Stewardship. Just think about this. It's one of the reasons why I wanted to bring this topic up. Think about whatever's in your life. Time, skills, money, truth, relationships, whatever it is. And think about how you're stewarding that for the kingdom of God. That's what this article is all about. This audio is all about. And getting us to think deeper. So we can look at people and see bad examples. And then we can look at other people and say, hey, there's a good example. Or maybe there's areas where we're doing something good, like you're growing a garden, right? Here's an example for you. Let's say you grow a garden and you're really good at it. You can all the vegetables, you eat them, you freeze them. Nothing goes to waste. All the scraps go into a mulch pile to help you grow more. You're really good at that. Then you go to the store and you waste your money on foolish things. So you're a good steward in a garden, you're terrible with money. So you can use those examples in the garden to help you be a better steward with the money, or vice versa, whatever you need help with. So that's what I'm trying to do, is help us sharpen our sword on good stewardship. How about Luke 16:10-13? That he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one, love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Let's go back to that verse where it says, Therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon. He's talking about if somebody gives you a chore and money to do, take care of them, like that parable of the talent. If you can't be trusted with money, which is earthly and it's really unrighteous compared to the things of God, that's what Jesus is saying. Who's going to commit to you eternal riches? Think about that. If you can't handle a $20 bill, can you handle the eternal truth of God's word? It's something to consider. That's the lesson it's trying to teach us there, is we got to make sure that we're diligent in those big things and in those small things as well, because the two stack on top of each other, don't they? I think they do. So many today indeed are trying to serve both God and mammon, or their own pet interests, their flesh, like that silly college that man is starting that isn't needed, not God ordained. And this makes us, or makes a person, an unprofitable servant when we're required to be a profitable servant unto the Lord, right? That should be our goal, to be profitable unto the Lord in all things. Something to consider. Here's some more verses that we could talk about for stewardship. Galatians 6:9-10. Let us not be weary in doing well, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially unto them who are in the household of faith. So there you go. Are you a good steward in the opportunities you have to do good to others? Good question, right? Yeah, I'll ask myself that as well. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Let's talk about this one. Several years ago, I was in Wyoming witnessing in front of a Baptist churchianity place, and a young elder, or deacon, he was a deacon, young man, maybe 30, he said to me, "Wow, you really know the word of God." He said, "I wish I knew the word of God like that." And I said, "You know what? I'm not special. I just take a lot of time." I said, "What do you spend your time on?" And he looked down at the ground and he said, "I watch TV way too much." And I said, "Well, you need to throw your TV out and get in the word of God." He was not being a good steward of the time God gave him. He was squandering it on foolish entertainment. And he was ashamed when he met someone that actually studied and just knew the word of God. So let us not fall into that pit. James 1:12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, for which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. So Endurance. You know, God gives us everything we need to endure, but we need to be good stewards of all those things. The truth, the word, the spirit, encouragement from others. And here you go. Learning from all of our experiences, which strengthen us and build character in us. Getting character from persecution rather than saying, oh, woe is me. Growing in the persecution so that when the next persecution comes, you're stronger than you were before. That's being a good steward of all the experiences that God allows us to have. And what is waiting for us? A crown of life for those that endure. I would say for those that are good stewards as well. 1 Timothy 6:17. Charge them that are rich in this world that they need that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who give us richly all things to enjoy. I just did a teaching on the love of money is the root of all evil. And a lot of people say money's the root of all evil. No, it's the love of money that is the root of all evil. And here this verse is telling us, don't trust in riches, right? So God might bless you, and you might have more than other people, but if you're not a good steward of the other things God's given you, faith, character, strength, truth, whatever, it don't matter if you got $1 billion in the bank, but if you're falling down in your faith and you're not strong and you're not walking in the truth, that's not being a good steward of all the things that God has given you. Some people are really good at making money, and they're terrible at everything else in their life. And that's a terrible balance to have because that money leads you really nowhere. And all the other things in your life, like faith and love and charity and mercy and hope, that's really where the future lies, not in your bank account or your 401k. How about Ephesians 4:28? Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. You know, in ministry, whether it's in the street or online, I meet so many people, young men, middle-aged men, that don't work, and they're claiming Christ. Yeah, it's sad. And they're healthy enough to work. And so here it's saying, it's talking about a thief, but maybe you were lazy before you were a Christian. Now you become a Christian. You're born again by the gospel. You better not be lazy anymore. You better get working so you can provide for yourself and have something to provide for others. That shows that you're being a good steward. I met a man not too long ago. He's like 45 years old, and he has worked most of his life, sporadically in and out sometimes. But you know what? He has nothing to show in his life. Nothing. He can't provide for himself. He doesn't have a home where he can give security to himself or to others. He has no kinds of savings that he could fall back on with wisdom when he needs it. 45 years of your life and most of it working as a tradesman, and you have nothing to show for it. Not that you should be building riches, but you certainly should be able to take care of yourself and have something to give others, as it talks about in the scriptures. 1 Timothy 6:6-14. I love this. But godliness with contentment is great gain. There's something we got to be a good steward of, right? Contentment. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. There's that $1 billion in the bank won't do you any good if you haven't been a good steward of God's truth in your life. Having food and raiment, let us therefore be content. Hey, we got to be good stewards of contentment. How many of us get discontented real easy? We're not handling our contentment very well, are we? Nope. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Yeah, you hear stories all the time. I covered that in my money article. People are poor or average, and they win the lottery, and they think it's going to be great, or they inherit a bunch of money, or they win a lawsuit because they sued somebody. Their life's destroyed. Why? Because they end up being not good stewards of the money or good stewards of things in their life, and they run into excess. Here's that verse. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which some coveted after. They've erred from the faith, pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. There's where we have to be a good steward of, with righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Those are the things of eternal life. Amen. Verse 12, fight the good fight of faith. lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge unto the sight of God, who quicken all things, and before Christ Jesus, before Pontius Pilate, witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I love how he compares there, how Jesus had a good confession, good witness, and tells us to keep ourselves without spot and unrebukable. So people sometimes will say, oh, why you're making a judgment of how that guy spends his money. You know what? You're not blameless if you're foolish with your money, or if you're a bad witness, or you're taking money for people when you're wasting money. How about this one? Selling the things of God. Hey, James from don'tperish.com writes a book. Yeah, $29.95. But selling the things of God, how is this in line with where Jesus said, freely it was given, freely you shall give? If you need to sell the books or sell anything, not that you need a book, to sell anything of God, I would say you're not being a very good steward. Because if you have time, go get a job. If you had money, you must have wasted it. Right? So being good stewards and being without spot and unrebukable. So all of this to say, we need to take stock again of how we steward what God's given us. Jesus was a great example. Remember what he said? He said, I will lose none of what the Father gave me. Isn't that glorious? If you're his and you strive and endure, he's not going to lose you. He's going to be a good steward, and he's going to bring you home with him in eternity through that blood covenant via the gospel. So consider all these things. How are we doing stewarding, being good stewards of all that God has given us? Again, a recap. I'm being redundant. It's time. It's money. It's our talents. It's our efforts. It's our skills. It's our relationships. It's the faith God's given us. It's the truth God's given us. All of these things, God expects us to be good stewards. Children that he's given you, family that he's given you, spiritual family that he's given you. He wants us to be good stewards and get our priorities right. And most people's priority is their flesh and their bank account. When our priority should be the eternal things of God, then of course you have to take care of your flesh and you have to provide for money. But get the balance right, get the priorities right. And that's another good one to think about. Are you a good steward with the priorities in your life? Most people have their priorities way backwards. They're striving after the kingdom of this earth. Kingdom of Satan is what it is. And they loosely are coming after the kingdom of God, if not at all. Shouldn't it be the other way around? Shouldn't you be striving hard for the kingdom of God every day with all that you are? And then, yeah, I got to go into the world or work, or I got to do these things to maintain. Yeah, people have got their stewardship all messed up. So I hope that gets you to ponder good stewardship today. Don't be hypocritical. Don't be a bad influence or a bad witness. Be a good influence on others around you. It should be said of us. People should look at us and go, you know what? They're good stewards of whatever it is they see in our life that we're using well for the glory of God, in humility, meekness, lowliness, helping others, preaching the gospel, living simple, staying debt-free. People should see that. And even our enemies are going to see that. And they may hate us, but they're going to see that. And we are going to be without blame. I can tell you, the way I live my life, my enemies, to the glory of God, can find nothing about my life that they can attack. I don't sell things. I don't have fancy, expensive things. I don't frivolously spend my money. I believe that if you walk blameless, that gives you power over your enemies. Think about that. I'm going to leave you with this last verse. Matthew 6:21. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. What a powerful verse right there. Be a good steward of all the treasures God's given you and all those categories I talked about. And make sure that it's all for him first, for the kingdom first. Do the best that you can. You're going to make mistakes. We all do. You're going to fall down sometimes. But the pattern of good stewardship will show over the course of your life. As they say, 3 steps forward, 1 step back sometimes, then 3 steps forward. You're moving in the right direction. Sadly, most people are standing still, or more often, they're going backwards. So be a good steward. Let me know I can help you in faith. Hey, I'll help you be a good steward. Go to don'tperish.com. Go to the teaching blog. Go to our teaching library. Thousands of resources, sisters' blogs, audios, videos, articles to help you be the best disciple of Christ you can be. That's why we strive. That's why we go into the street. That's why we preach the gospel. It's the only hope for this dying world. So thanks for listening. Check out those resources. Let us know how we can help you in the faith. Go out and be a holy disciple of Christ and be a good steward for the glory of our King. Hey, we love you all. Till next time, may God be praised.